people out on a Thursday night, so I'm glad. And I think it shows maybe a little bit of the energy that you have for the subject of family. And I was just thinking, it's one of the, it's been a burden and maybe a bit of a passion for me. Nothing that I'm going to share tonight or any night is going to be new. I heard it from the likes of you all and other people that we've sat at the feet of over the years. My wife and I moved out of Chicago, and when we got married 39 years ago, we weren't really going to have any children. We knew they were kind of a pain in the neck, and so we opted out of having children, and the Lord overruled on our first one. Judson just kind of gave them to us anyway, and after that, I got to thinking, what an idiot I was. This is so great. And thankfully, it wasn't too late to have a few more, and he gave us some more after that. And I've really been blessed, not only by the children, but the process of raising children, of working with children. And thanks. One of the subjects that I think is important for a family weekend is the subject of spanking. You know, it's one of those subjects that if we can get a grip on it and see the benefit and what good it does for our children, and what good it does for us as well. I think I would almost be willing to say that every good spanking, and that's what I titled my message tonight, a good spanking. Every good spanking that you do when your child's about 3, 4, 5, is going to be a 15-minute conversation with your child when they're 18. And you'll be able to tell them something that's kind of hard and difficult, or something that's really great and fun and nice, but you're going to have, I think, the kind of interaction that all of you really want. And you know, it's been said that before you can really get to where you want to be, you have to come to grips with where you are. And that's especially important in the area of family, in the area of working with your children, the area of loving your children. And the ministry, I want you to be able to look at it as a ministry, the ministry of spanking. We have the ministry of prayer, and we take full advantage of that. Sometimes we don't necessarily see results right away, you know, and we should probably just quit, shouldn't we, and try some other ministry? No, we don't do that. We say we're going to keep praying regardless of whether we see results immediately, you know. Just a couple verses, and you know lots of verses about spanking, but just a couple, because I want to read something, and it's evidently, it's hard for me to come to grips over the years with the position that the world has taken on spanking. And sadly, some of that's leaked over into the church. Proverbs 29:15, one you probably know from memory, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Now, one other verse that we want to kind of aim for and strive for. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Little book. There's a storybook we read at our house, and I'm not sure I'd recommend it. It's called Those Brewster Children by Florence Morse Kingsley. It's a Christian book, and she's written some good books. This one, she does a lot of... Well, let me just read this. This is the afterword of the book. I didn't bring the book, but just the afterword. It will be easily perceived by the intelligent reader that there really isn't any end to this story. The chronicler is forced to leave the problems of the Brewster parents unsolved in many details, while the Brewster children, in company with the present generation of young Americans, are still growing up. Growing up, it is devoutly to be hoped, into better men and women than their parents. Stronger physically, more alert mentally, of clearer vision, better fitted to carry the world's burdens and direct the world's activities. I think this, she lived, I think, in the late 1800s, I'm guessing. Unless the Brewsters accomplish this much for their children, they have failed in the greatest thing given them to do. For it is not more wealth, better houses, finer raiment that the world is crying out for, but better, healthier, more inspired men and women. I agree with that. And clearly it rests with the fathers and mothers as to whether their children shall reach this higher level toward which humanity weakly struggles with tears and groans. Is love and brotherhood to rule in a world wherein all the finer qualities of mind and heart find room to grow and flourish? Or is humanity to go on its old, old, weary way, hating and being hated? The strong trampling the weak underfoot. The child often suffering from ignorance and injustice, even in its own home, and growing up to carry on the same false ideas. There's much to be said on both sides of this question of child government, and the writer of this little tale does not even pretend to have said the last word. But let this much be remembered. Spare the rod and spoil the child was spoken in the days when polygamy and concubinage were the rule in the home. Folly is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. was the dictum of an age whose customs would not be tolerated in these days of higher civilization and more illumined vision. The rack and the thumbscrew, the gag, the branding iron, and the scourge have passed. We shiver at the mere mention of the tortures inflicted upon human flesh in those past ages of darkness. Yet the rod of correction is still tolerated, nay, even complacently advocated in our homes, though it has been routed from our schools. Isn't it out of date? Doesn't it belong in the museums with those ancient and rust-eaten instruments of torture? Listen to this other saying from a newer inspiration, a closer fellowship with the light of the world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And this from the fountainhead of all wisdom. And he took a little child and set him by his side and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this little child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all the same is great. I submit this to you. Is it possible to conceive of Jesus Christ as striking a little child? This was a Christian author. Let me read a quick article here from a Jewish author. It's Abigail Schreier. It's called Bad Therapy. When we were little, and this is part of the introduction of the book, but the intro, she kind of got interested in this subject when she went to a doctor with her son because he had a stomach ache. And the doctor asked her to leave her room while he interviewed the son. And the doctor asked in the interview, this is a written report, in the past few weeks, have you wished you were dead? In the past few weeks, have you felt that you or your family would be better off if you were? And then it gets worse from there. And he said, you need to go out of the room while I interview your child. And she was thinking afterwards, she didn't do it. But she said, what if I had just gone out of the room? You know, and what if my child would have just answered one of those questions just a little wrong, you know, he's not fully understanding what the question is. What would they have prescribed at that point? Then she goes on, when we were little, my brother and I were spanked. Our feelings were seldom consulted when consequential decisions about our lives were made. Where we would attend school, whether we would show up at synagogue for major holidays, what sort of clothes fit the place and occasion. If we didn't particularly relish the food set out for dinner, no alternate menu was forthcoming. If we lacked some critical right of self-expression, some essential exploration of a repressed identity, it never occurred to either of us. It would be years before anyone in my generation would regard these perfectly average markers of an 80s childhood as vectors of emotional injury. But as millions of women and men my age entered adulthood, we commenced therapy. We explored our childhoods and learned to see our parents as emotionally stunted. Emotionally stunted parents expected too much. They listened too little and failed to discover their kids' hidden pain. Emotionally stunted parents inflicted emotional injury. We never doubted that we wanted kids of our own. We vowed that our child rearing would reflect a greater psychological awareness. We resolved to listen better, inquire more, monitor our kids' moods, accommodate their opinions when making a family decision, and whenever possible, anticipate our kids' stress and distress. We would cherish our relationship with our kids, tear down the barrier of authority past generations had erected between parent and child, and instead see our children as teammates, mentees, buddies. More than anything, we wanted to raise happy kids. We looked to the wellness experts for help. We devoured their best-selling parenting books, which established the methods by which we would educate, correct, and even speak to our own children. Guided by these experts, we adopted a therapeutic approach to parenting. We learned to offer our kids the reason behind every rule and request. We never, ever spanked. We perfected the timeout and provided thorough explanation for any punishment, which we then rebranded as a consequence to remove any associated shame and make us feel less authoritarian. Successful parenting became a function with a single coefficient, our kids' happiness at any given instant. An ideal childhood meant no pain, no discomforts, no fights, no failures, and absolutely no hint of trauma. We rushed our kids back to the mental health professionals who guided our parenting, this time for testing, diagnosis, counseling, and medication. We needed our kids and everyone around them to know our kids weren't shy. They had social anxiety disorder or social phobia. They weren't poorly behaved. They had oppositional defiant disorder. They weren't disruptive students. They had ADHD. It wasn't our fault, and it wasn't theirs. We would attack and finally eliminate the stigma surrounding these diagnoses. Rates at which our children received them soared. One more paragraph. How did the first generation to raise kids without spanking produce the first generation to declare they never wanted kids of their own? Well, that's a good question. Let me just read that one more time. How did the first generation to raise kids without spanking produce the first generation to declare they never wanted kids of their own? How did kids raised so gently come to believe that they had experienced debilitating childhood trauma? How did kids who received far more psychotherapy than any previous generation plunge into a bottomless well of despair? I'm not sure who was wiser there. I think it was the Jewish person. We used to read books. One of the authors, and I'm not saying ban the books if the author doesn't spank, but analyze it. Figure out when they should have spanked. I don't want to say favorite author, but one author that wrote some really nice devotional stories was Isabella Alden. And there were some real good ones. But there was many times when we were reading a book as we were sitting there as a family and we were saying, they should have spanked that boy. That little girl needed a spanking. And so I was kind of kind of funny, just a little history, but you've probably all, I know I have, seen a child in a public place just screaming away and, you know, maybe pulling things off the shelves of the store and just giving them parents a royal treatment. And you're thinking to yourself, that child needs a good spanking. I mean, you almost feel guilty saying it, but deep down you're saying that child needs a good spanking. And so that's the title of this message. It was a long way to get there. A good spanking. And, you know, I would just say it's not hard. And you can make mistakes. And I've made it. Probably every mistake in the book trying to spank my children. And had to apologize many, many times. But like I said earlier, the investment is worth it. And just look at it, if you gotta, you know, if you're one of those people that like investments, you know, you just, a 15-minute spanking, maybe 10 minutes, what it's gonna give you in 18 years. And I'm telling you, if you do a good spanking at 3, you'll love the results at 18. And if you forget everything else I said tonight, just remember that. It'll be worth it. A good spanking, there's real sin. There's real pain. And there's a real restoration. There's 3 things. Real sin. And so that sometimes takes, sometimes that, if we want to start there with real sin. The spanking must be a consequence of sin. We're really working as a minister of God. And so we're dealing with things that God would like that child to rise past and move forward ahead of. And so we want it to be sin, not just some irritation. We'll talk a little bit about that. Right. Proverbs likes to say, from folly to wisdom. We're trying to get from point A to point B. And we need to be thinking as parents, as we're judging a situation, what are we spanking for? You know, that just gives us a little time to calm down and do some thinking. And as I think about that, I like to filter things through the filter of honor. Because if you want a 20-year-old that's going to talk to you in a normal way and receive correction from you at 20 or 21 or 22 or 24. My girl's 24. But, yeah, it's going to involve honor. And so when I'm filtering, I'm especially looking for things that have to do with honor. And the way you can tell about honor, you know, real estate people say location, location, location. Beekeepers say Varroa, Varroa, Varroa. I mean, if you don't treat for Varroa, you might as well get out of the bee business. But parents, they say attitude, attitude, attitude. Look for those attitudes that block honor. And a 3-year-old is exhibiting those, 2, 3, and 4. And it's such a wonderful time to just reach in there and grab it, and you end up growing closer to your child. But a child defies your authority. That's a spankable offense, a tantrum. A shouted protest against your instruction, acts of defiance, either refusing to do what you ask them to do or doing what you ask them not to do. Unkindness to their siblings, hitting you, lying. These are just drop everything, just go take care of it, spanking. You've obviously done the teaching. You've explained lying. You've explained to them how you want them to respond when you tap them on the shoulder Sunday and they're pulling away. that's just plain out dishonor, And so that's a spankable offense right there. So that's a sin, and God wants us to deal with it. And so we're only going to deal with sin, and we're probably not going to get every sin. Let's be realistic, especially if you haven't done it much, but you want to start. Maybe you want to start small. Start with the biggest ones and just that are the most obvious, and just be really consistent. That sin is obvious. There's some that require some real discernment. Maybe there was obedience, but it was with a complaining spirit. But they got the job done, or it was delayed obedience, and so they didn't do it real quick, and they complained, but they did get it done. But you got to judge that, and that's really disobedience. But some of those things take a little discernment. A little child is just whining and whining about everything. Well, if you hadn't fed them for 15 hours and they're in a dirty diaper, we got a reason. Okay, so we take care of that. But, if everything's fine and they're just, they just can't be happy. Mommy, he's playing with that, I want that, and I want this. And that's really the sin of grumbling. And when you think about only grumbling's an 18-year-old or a 40-year-old, but whining's a 2-year-old. Right. It turns into grumbling. And God is not happy with grumbling. So that's something that's, one of those maybe a little bit of a question. So you tell your child you're gonna spank for that, and you prepare them, but then they do it again, and you have a spanking. And we sit them down. It's a real sin. We're gonna talk to them about it. And it's gonna be, what did you do? And they're going to say, well, I hit my sister. And God doesn't want us to hit our sisters and to hurt. And so we're going to, just a real simple, a young child isn't going to want a 30-minute dissertation, but real clear, what did you do? What does God say about that? What does God require me to do for that? And so if they can't speak really, or they're just kind of getting their language, then I'm going to just say, Jeremiah, what did you do? And I might even help them. I hit my sister. And so just repeat the words and have them repeat it right after you. So it's clear in their mind. Now, you're going to say, well, I can't do that with my 6-month-old. No. And you're probably not going to do a full drawn-out spanking with your 6-month-old. But you're going to do some tapping, They're pulling this and pulling on that and slapping on this and a little slap on the finger or on the thigh, You can a lot of times teach him no. And that's really what you're trying to teach him there in the very early, is just teach him no. And, a lot of 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds don't know no. So keep it simple. I'm emphasizing that the spanking they're receiving is an extension of God chastening in their lives. And that's why it's got to be for real sin. And so, parents, you are as much in submission to God as your child is to you. So this is a world obeying God in this matter. And so we want to be right on the spanking. And like I said, I've blown it many times. But our goal is that we're working on behalf of God in the child's life. And it's a serious responsibility. You're spanking because he tells you to. You're to spank only for the things that he himself calls sin. Any kind of disobedience, any of that, that's all sin. When do you spank? You spank as soon as your child has sinned. And if they're too young to be able to remember, like they're in the store and they're 2 or 3, they're not going to, you know, in 2 hours I'm going to spank you. It's probably not going to work. You're probably going to have to give that one up. But a 3 or 4-year-old is going to remember. A 4-year-old, for sure. And they think about that, you know. And just quietly, when we get home, I'm going to have to give you a spanking. And they can think about it. They can meditate on that little thought. But when they get home, and you got to remember you said it. Because that's worse than you should have let it go if you're not going to remember it. So first, real sin. Number two, real pain. Okay? And I like to think sting. Sting. And so it doesn't take, you know, to get sting. We use just a paddle. I know Jonathan Showalter made us a bunch about this stick. Have a nice handle, and you get real sting. And what I like about it is I never get bruising. You know, that's just nice. You get sting, and it happens right away. So I'm thinking sting. A spanking that doesn't hurt, it's not a good spanking. I'm sorry. It's got to hurt or it won't do any good. In fact, it's a spanking that can actually do more harm than good. You're not doing a stick massage, you know, and it's not symbolic, you know. So we're doing a real spanking. It actually hurts. And so think sting. Spanking too soft is going to do more harm than good. The child might cry when you spank soft, but it's more from resentment than repentance. And they're just thinking all the time, I'm not listening to this, you know. I used to kind of laugh because my mom spanked like that. And we loved getting spanked by mom. We'd pretend and we'd cry real loud like we were really getting hurt. But there's no pain, there's no repentance. The child quickly returns to the same patterns. And what's worse is it will tend to erode the parent's authority. And it's kind of like, it's often the reason parents will end up saying, man, spanking just doesn't work. No, but it's kind of like trying to iron without the iron being plugged in. You know, you can rub all day, but it's, you know, your shirts aren't going to get done, and eventually you're probably going to take the iron and return it to the store, you know, because it doesn't work. But, you know, try plugging it in, and you'll get some results. So, spanking has to hurt in order to be good. I like that sting. I'm thinking sting. How do I know if I'm spanking hard enough? A sweetness of spirit is the fruit. A good spanking leads a child to say, I'm sorry, Mommy. I'm sorry, Daddy. And it brings, it's like it brings about a little conversion, almost a little transformation. And yeah, we're not calling them saved, but boy, it could sure change their outlook on the day. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. A little transformation as a result of a spanking.
Yeah.
Now, Mom, sometimes you got to work a little harder at the pain thing. You know, it's just on a lot of ladies, it's just not their natural bent to be able to give the right amount of pain. So work at it. You know, you can do it. And you may have to put a little effort in it and... You always have, you know, when Mom and Dad are together, you always have that backup. That if it's just not working, and there's you're just not getting that sweet fruit of righteousness, maybe they get a daddy spanking when he comes home. And the children know, man, I can't play Mom against Dad, and I can't play Dad against Mom. And so both Mom and Dad are reproving and spanking. It's not just Dad does the spanking and Mom does the reproving. No. Mom does the reproving and she does the spanking. And Dad does the reproving and he does the spanking.
Amen.
You know, so they can't win. I mean, they win. You know, so, so it's so important that Mom and Dad are together on that. Does your spanking bring real pain? And then thirdly, a good spanking brings real restoration. Man, that is so important. And you know, they sit on your lap, and first off, you're doing a little talking before because you're kind of identifying the sin. And then you're doing this talking after. The spanking doesn't just stand on its own. It's not like, okay, you did it that time. We're going in the room and bam, 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 bam. And then we're out again. No. I got to take the time. I'm a minister of God in this situation. This is so serious. And so... So a simple explanation before, and then the assurance of your love and God's forgiveness when it's over. You can sit, they're sitting on your lap, and maybe there's tears, and maybe in a minute or two it turns to a giggle. That's great, you know, because there's just a sense, there's always a sense that Mom does this because she loves me. Dad does this because he loves me. There's no other reason. He loves me. And you don't want to give him another reason.
Right.
There's forgiveness. Jeremiah, are you sorry for what you did? Yes. Then let's pray. And maybe... I'm talking to John, you know, and he can't talk yet, or can't quite formulate his own thoughts. Dear Jesus, I know I did what was wrong. I know I did what was wrong. Please forgive me for talking back to Mommy. Please forgive me for talking back to Mommy. And I forgive you, and I'm not angry with you anymore. And everything's right. And you think about the alternative. Time out in your room. I mean, you had a bad attitude before. Now you go in your room and you spend an hour. And your attitude, does it get better in time? I mean, maybe you learn to cover it, but you don't bring healing to resentments. This just... It just fixes it. You know. Don't hurry up what you're doing. You don't have anything better to do than to sit and hold your precious child. Okay. I think we got the idea. It's prayerful. It's just covered in love. They know mom loves. They know dad loves. And that's the sense all the way through. It's love. It's love. So I just want to say a little bit. So when does a good spanking go bad? Maybe I should just say, when does a spanking go bad? Because I don't think it was a good spanking. Let me just say a few things. See, I probably got to be done here. No. Spankings that are unjust. You know, we're starting with on the wrong foot, kind of. So do due diligence. Make sure that, you know, it was Johnny, not Susie, Linda, not Mary, and Linda was doing, you know, get all the facts out and figure out what happened, but and give it the time it needs, you know. We're capable, I don't know about you, but I'm capable of getting very bent out of shape over things that aren't sinful. I'm 68 years old, or 67, and I still get bent out of shape over things that are not sinful. When a child is not so much being sinful as being childish, it can be exasperating, but it's not a call for spanking. You know, now, maybe I have to do a little more training, who knows? But when the behavior that you disapprove of was more accidental than willful, that's not a spanking offense.
Right.
The child did not know that it was against your will. That's not a spanking offense. When your child's behavior is mortifying to you. Oh, who's ever experienced that? Yeah, it's not a call for a spanking. I mentioned this, you know, was your toddler truly cranky? Or was he just way past his bedtime and in a dirty diaper, you know? We are God's appointed judges of the situation. Just think about that. We're God's appointed judge. God's judging through us. Am I judging unfairly? God will hold us responsible for the justice of the punishments that we mete out. And then, so it wasn't sinful, it was just, you know, it was not good on the first step. Maybe it was a spanking done out of anger or irritation. And if you punish just merely because your children are on your nerves, you're just at the end, and I gotta spank somebody. That's no good. That's no good. If you ever feel good from doing a spanking, call somebody right away, you know. You're no longer a minister of God's own chastening love. It's not how he deals with us. He's not out of control. It's hard when he deals with us. And it may hurt very much, but it's always in love. You know, when you do that, you're really nothing more than one sinner reacting to another sinner in a sinful way. One sinner reacting to another sinner in a sinful way. I may only spank in order to minister to my child, not because I need to vent my anger. If you know you're upset and you know the child needs a spanking, take a minute. Go into the room. Just give it some thought and pray. And ask God to just turn that into a beautiful spanking. And He wants it more than you do, so that's a prayer He's guaranteed to answer. And what should I do if I did that? What if I got angry? Well, I just need to do the same thing that He tells all sinners to do and go confess my sin. And I need to tell my child I'm sorry, you know? And you know what they're going to do? I forgive you, Daddy. I forgive you, Daddy. And is it going to be better or worse? It's going to be better. Yeah. Spankings that are like way too hard. Now, I want sting. And it's going to be quite the moment for your three-year-old. It's all-encompassing when he's getting there because it's going to hurt. But you're not smacking him around and dragging him into the bedroom and banging him into the walls. And that is just abuse. That's what it is. Physical abuse. And if you're yelling and screaming, it's verbal abuse. Either way, it's abuse. And it's why they probably write those kind of articles that I read. And it's why we have the Department of Child Protective Services.
Right, right.
And so that's not what we want.
Right.
You're doing the opposite of what God has ordained a spanking to accomplish. Number four, spankings done without love. Like I said, they need to know beginning and end that you love them. And that's why you're doing it. They know mommy loves them. They know dad loves them. And it's something that's easily lost. You know, you get to the end of a day and you're tired. Well, maybe this is just that little bit of grace that God's given you to just give you a pick-me-up. Maybe I need 2 minutes to administer a loving spanking so that I can feel the hug of my child and realize what's really important, you know? Our children know when we're just going through the motions. And they know when we're ministering to them in love. They know it. We're not fooling them. And parents, it's hard to love sinners. Lord, give me a love for my children. But spankings are only good spankings when they're in the context of love. So use that filter of love. And use that filter of honor when you're deciding which is a spankable offense. Because ultimately, honor really shows itself in 15 years. And how's this going to work out? So just anyway. Spankings, maybe a final thought here. Spankings are intended by God to soften the hearts of our children. It's possible for spankings done unjustly or without self-control or without love to harden the hearts of our children. They should see that we're determined to spank them in obedience to the Lord for their own good.
Right.
Just a couple questions you may not have had, but I'm afraid I can't do this without sinning. I'm just not of a good enough makeup to go through all this and spank my children. None of us can. None of us will ever do all our parenting without sinning. I don't think. And God gives every one of us parents the same opportunity to come into agreement with Him about our sin, and He will forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the fact that you're sensitive to the fact that you were probably going to sin sometime in the process of parenting your children, that's not a deal breaker. So, you know, are there legitimate alternatives to spanking? Well, yes. I mean, maybe not every sin you will spank for. There's times when you give a word of reproof and it soaks in and things go well and there's a change, and that's great, you know. Maybe some additional chores when you're parenting teenagers. Obviously, you know, you're reaching a point where you're not spanking, and they're receiving your word of correction. We'll talk a little bit about that in another message. But by and large, you know, none of our creative alternatives to spanking come with the biblical assurances of God's blessing. You know, that needs to kind of weigh in with this pretty big. Sit him on a chair and save a soul from death. You know, send him to his room and it'll drive the sin far from him. Folly's bound up in the heart of a child, and send him to his room and it will drive the folly far from him. You know, the alternatives and looking for lots of alternatives, it's kind of a way that we spare the rod and spoil the child. And I'm not saying that there's not going to just drop down and something in the instant you need to do, and it's a consequence, and the child doesn't win, and they shouldn't win, and that's a good, you know, you're going to have those times. You're going to have to do that, but don't just let it be your looking for alternatives all the way, all the time, so that you're all of a sudden able to find more alternatives. We often always had the judgment of the spanking, but then we maybe did an extra consequence, you know. If he was just really cocky and putting his brother down or something. We had these 10-foot squares in our barn that always needed mopping. And so that was just a good little extra chore that helped. And it was a low chore because you did it on your hands and knees. And it was a good way to just bring them back to reality. Maybe they do their brother's chores one night, do their dishes. So, you know, we have every night somebody's doing dishes, and maybe it's John's turn, and Joseph has to do dishes for John, you know. Justice has to do dishes for Joanna. So, so you know, you can have a consequence like that, and you can have some fun with those. Anyway, I just want to encourage you, no matter where you're at in this issue of spanking, say you haven't done it, you haven't done it enough, you wished you had done it more. Well, maybe you're young, married, and you can start, or you can decide right now, when I get married, I'm going to spank my children with God's help, you know? Then it'll really be worth it. So, just want to give you that word. Thank you for your good attention.
And yeah. How do you know when you've done enough?
Well, that you don't want to do too much, but at the same time, you know, maybe kind of have a set number of strokes that sting, and get that sense if they're repentant, if they're soft, if they're, you know, if they're still pulling and they're still fighting you, well, then we may have to have a little talk about what happens when we fight a spanking. And that's another sin. That's the sin of refusing the punishment. And so sometimes it means it's a double spanking. And in that case, that's a good point, because say you have a child that's been running around the house and running across the bedroom and jumping over the bed, and you can hardly get him buckled down to give him a little spanking. Okay, so he's taking an extra spanking, but I'm going to tell him in my pre-talk, you know, I want you to take this spanking today without running. You take it like a little man, you know? So you give them a little encouragement. And afterwards, if they do better, you know, then you did better. And tell them that. You know, they're just, that's one of their graces, is that they love encouragement. Mm. And so you give them a little encouragement on something they're starting to do better. Oh, man, that's huge. Thank you.